And tonight on Coast to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe is back with us with her incredible series of stories. She'll be getting right into a couple of reports when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Linda Moulton Howe joining us. And then in our last hour, we always have what we call conversations with Linda, giving you an opportunity, of course, to just chat with her. Perhaps you're a whistleblower. You can check in with us on that, too. And Linda's got a couple stories for us that she'll be sharing with us over the next couple hours. You've done your work again, Linda. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, George. And this is really important news. This past weekend, on Saturday night, February 21st, in 2015, retired U.S. Air Force Tech Sergeant John Burroughs received the 2015 Researcher of the Year Award at the Open Minds International UFO Congress in Fountain Hills, Arizona. The award honored John's breakthrough by using Freedom of Information requests to the U.K.'s Ministry of Defense that finally provoked MOD admission that it was withholding 18 classified files, including six policy files, about the RAF Bentwaters Woodbridge Rendlesham Forest events from December 26th to 28th, 1980. And as you and I and everyone listening in the years that I've been reporting about this, this involved what are called in the UK unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP, that interacted with John Burroughs, who was then in 1980 a U.S. Air Force Airman First Class. In 2011, before this breakthrough, John began suffering periodic life-threatening atrial fibrillation, also known as AFib, a quivering or irregular heartbeat that can lead to blood clots, stroke, heart failure, and other heart
problems. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's history. That thing starts to fibrillate. You're through.
That's right. And he was closer to passing than any of us ever knew at the time. He filed for Veterans Administration medical benefits, but, George, he was denied when the VA staff said there was no record of John Burroughs serving at RAF Bentwaters Woodbridge.
What?
Yes. That was the first response. John then sought legal help in Jackson, Mississippi, attorney Pat Fresconia, and then Arizona U.S. Senator John Kyle before his retirement. John's VA case then went to the office of Arizona's U.S. Senator John McCain. They worked hard. Eventually, the VA admitted knowledge of John's service at RAF Bentwaters Woodbridge in the 1979 to 1982 time period. But during that process, the senator's office and VA staff found that John Burroughs' medical records for that period were, quote, classified, close quote. Well, by 2013, John needed open-heart surgery to repair seriously damaged mitral valve leaflets. John was angry and frustrated at not being able to get VA medical disability coverage when he was learning that a top-secret UK restricted Project Condyne that had been quietly declassified in 2006 contained information that directly linked exposure to UAP radiation in the December 1980 Rendlesham Forest unexplained lights to bodily injury and mental manipulation. Those are statements in Project Condyne. Finally, under pressure from Senator John McCain's office, the VA arranged John's urgent open-heart surgery for mid-December 2013.
Wow.
He began to recover to more normal health, but, George, he still had no medical benefits or his RAF Bentwaters Woodbridge medical records because they were still classified. By January 23, 2014, a year ago, John began filing Freedom of Information requests with the MOD, and by the spring and fall of 2014, the UK Ministry of Defense finally admitted it withheld at least 18 classified UAP, UFO files that John was filing in the context of his classified medical records, what he had been exposed to at RAF Bentwaters, but he does not have any straight answers as we are talking now in February of 2015. But here's the other great, huge, recent news. The day after his research award for that MOD breakthrough on Sunday, February 22nd, John and his attorney, Pat Frisconia, announced in a press release that the U.S. government's, quote, de facto acknowledgement of the existence of UFOs, close quote, has happened because the Veterans Administration has finally granted John Burroughs in January 2015 full medical disability for bodily injury in the line of duty December 26 to 28, 1980, when John twice encountered mysterious aerial lights, or as the MOD calls them, UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. And this is in the now famous UK Rendlesham Forest that grows along where RAF Bentwaters and Woodbridge were in December 1980, the largest NATO Air Force base at the height of the Cold War. Here now is attorney Pat Frisconia, followed by John Burroughs.
After many years of trying to get the Veterans Administration to recognize that John Burroughs was injured in the line of duty in December of 1980 in responding to what initially was believed to be a downed aircraft in the Rendlesham Forest near the twin bases of Bentwaters and Woodbridge, the injury that he received was immediate to his heart, something he did not have when he went into the Air Force just a year or so before, that eventually would require open-heart surgery.
And the essence of that damage is what?
The damage was described as a shredded anterior mitral valve component of his heart. I was there in Tucson with John at the VA in late 2013 when he had his surgery. And I spoke to the cardiac surgeon who had performed that surgery. He said he didn't know what could have caused that damage.
We now know that there is a classified UK document known as Project Condyne that specifically ties people who were in Rendlesham Forest in the December 26th to 28th time period to exposure to UAP radiation, which is unidentified aerial phenomena radiation. Can you now explain to a general audience your understanding of what this UAP radiation is that can damage human bodies and minds?
Yes. In reference to the document that was formerly UK restricted, and I'm just going to quote it, the well-reported Rendlesham Forest / Bentwaters event is an example where it might be postulated that several observers were probably exposed to UAP radiation for longer than normal UAP sighting period. The unidentified aerial phenomenon, or in the United States referred to as unidentified flying objects, or anomalous vehicles. And when these craft are operating, they emit a certain electromagnetic field. And that field is known to cause injury. That is what is referenced in the UK document. What makes this incredible and groundbreaking is that in January of 2015, the Veterans Administration has finally, after many years, attempting to get them to acknowledge that John Burroughs was injured while in the Rendlesham Forest. Tying it together with the document from the UK, it was an unidentified aerial phenomenon or vehicle that caused the injury.
With your press release announcing that John Burroughs has officially received his disability coverage from the United States Veterans Administration and that it linked directly with his inquiry to get his medical records because of his heart problems, and that this, as you say, the U.S. government's de facto acknowledgement of the existence of UFOs through this medical coverage leads to the issue, why are his medical records still classified?
I think the reason that we believe they're still classified is because there's too much information in them. We don't know to what detail things may have been recorded in them. We don't know who all may have been involved in the construction of those records that might be linked to them. So I think keeping the records classified is still serving a purpose for whatever that may be. But obviously the door has been finally opened when it never has been before. There's always been denial after denial after denial. This time it's different. This time there's an actual ability to link up things that have happened, things that have been said from officialdom.
In your mind as an attorney, what do you think now in February of 2015 is the distinction between disclosure versus the Veterans Administration seems to be a confirmation that bypasses disclosure?
Yes, confirmation. It does seem to be that. And I think the community has always known, the researchers and so forth, that just a straight-out disclosure, a press conference with the White House, that sort of thing, was probably never going to happen because there were just too many bad things that would have to be dealt with if you did it that way. Number one, why have you lied to the people of the world for so long? Why have you done that? Now there are many, many questions to both countries and to find out what this means going forward.
John Burroughs is grateful for the full medical coverage benefits finally granted by the U.S. Veterans Administration to him in January 2015. Like his attorney, Pat Frasconia, John thinks the implication of the VA's action based on his being injured in the line of duty in December 1980 while investigating mysterious lights in Rendlesham Forest near RAF Bentwaters Woodbridge is confirmation that the UFO or UAP phenomena was and is real. Here now is John Burroughs.
By settling this case in full, the Department of Defense, because the VA is part of the Department of Defense as far as they have to go through the DOD to get this information and confirm it, it's confirmation. They confirmed that the UFO phenomenon is real. They confirmed that I and others have encountered it, and they've confirmed it had harmful effects on me and more than likely other people, you know, that were out there. And to me, confirmation trumps disclosure because Condyne confirms that this is what's going on in the world, that the governments of the world are aware of it. This report was highly classified. Some of it's been declassified, but a lot of it remains classified. The majority of the governments of the world are aware of it and are working on it. And what are they working on? The biggest part of it? It didn't say they were looking at it from a help the world standpoint as far as medical and all that other stuff. What they were looking at it for and what they're classifying, the part that's being classified is the weaponization part of it. It's taken over 3 decades. There's been denial. There's been disinformation. But finally, there's been a real breakthrough. And I think this is a victory for everybody, not just me, but something that a lot of people have fought hard for and continuing to fight for. And I think it's just something that confirms that this is really going on. You know, obviously it's not the smoking gun everybody's looking for where you have some kind of bodies or you have some kind of craft, but you do have confirmation that the governments of the world are A, aware of it, and B, they're working on it. I think more people need to push the MOD a lot harder on Condyne itself and what they're still holding back and the documents that they denied having in the first place. Now, before Condyne, there was already, through FOIA, through the release of the British government, there was a document in there that the British MOD, DI 55, talked about where they were looking over whatever documents, which could possibly be the ones that have never been released that they claim they lost. But it was clearly in that document that they said we were exposed to above background radiation.
John, I have that document in my hand, and it was dated February 23rd, 1981, only about 1 month after your Rendlesham Forest encounters near RAF Bentwaters. And this is coming from the UK's DI 55. The sentence was that they are addressing the issue of background radioactivity at the site in Rendlesham Forest, and they, the DI 55, are saying, quote, "It seems significantly higher than the average background of about 0.015 millirentgens."
Right. They actually call it the phenomena right away. So they had already reviewed whatever they'd reviewed as far as whatever's been sent to them, and right away they were calling it a phenomena.
And that is in the beginning of this document. It
right.
says, "Unexplained lights, reference DI-55-108-15-1, first paragraph, quote, like DI-55, DI-52, they do not know of any serious explanation for the phenomena described at the reference, close quote, which relates to unexplained lights in Rendlesham Forest, December 26th to 28th, 1980.
Now, that was one of the documents that was submitted to the VA. The fact that there was a MOD document saying that we were exposed to background radiation, then when you get into Condyne, which is a huge report, which has a lot in it, but it's one of the few things in the report, when you go through the report, and it's over 400 pages long, there's a spot in there where it goes, the well-reported Rendlesham Forest Bentwaters event is an example where it might be postulated that several observers were probably exposed to UAP radiation for longer than normal UAP sighting periods.
What is your understanding today in February 2015 about what exactly unidentified aerial phenomena radiation is?
I'm not a scientist, but it's the type of radiation that if you go into the documents itself, they're actually working on. A lot of it's redacted in these documents. If you look at the report, and a lot of it was classified secret or above. So if none of it's of defense significance, if none of it matters, why is some of it still redacted? A lot of it's still redacted. Why was it all classified first as secret? The phenomenon itself, they talk about it on and off within Condyne, but there's no definitive answer of exactly what the phenomenon is other than it exists. It's clear, and then they go into what it's capable of doing, and that there's high interest in it, even from a defense standpoint.
And George, in the next half hour, John will talk more about the whole issue of the type of radiation we are talking about in this UAP phenomena that is described in this 460-page Project Condyne report. And I think for the Coast and Earth Files audiences that it is important at this point to remind everyone of a June 25th, 2009 press release that came from Colonel Charles Halt, now retired. He was the deputy base commander at Bentwaters in the December 1980 period. In his 2009 press release, officially, he said, quote, I wish to make it perfectly clear that the UFOs that I saw, and he's talking about in Rendlesham Forest, were structured machines moving under intelligent control and operating beyond the realm of anything I have ever seen before or since. I believe the objects that I saw at close quarter were extraterrestrial in origin, and that the security services of both the United States and England were and have been complicit in trying to subvert the significance of what occurred at Rendlesham by use of well-practiced methods of disinformation, close quote.
What a great story.
Well, this is
Jeez.
Incredible. This is important news.
I mean, this cuts right to the heart of everything that you've been investigating for all these years.
Right.
And just points out once again that there's a major cover-up and they just don't want us to know what's happening.
And this may be one of the leverage points to finally start getting things more honest.
Well, you know, you got to give Burroughs credit for fighting.
Absolutely. And the fact that he got the research award is something that he truly deserved. And it's not over. There are many, many, many more steps to go. He still doesn't even have his medical record.
No. Well, I look forward to hearing the rest of what he has to say to you when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Linda Moulton Howe. I'll tell you what another classic is, our television program on Beyond Belief. It is a very rapidly growing program. As a matter of fact, we have David Wilcock on yesterday, and everybody tuned in to try to pick up that free trial to take a look at that show that we had with him. You can still do that. It's still out there. Just simply go to this website, beyondbelief.com, and register for it. And you know what? You just might like all the shows, beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us as she's reporting on the case of John Burroughs, who was out there in Rendlesham Forest back 35 years ago during this incredible UFO story in the forest. Linda, I'll let you pick up with the second part with him.
Thanks, George. Well, John Burroughs' attorney, Pat Fresconia, said in their February 22nd press release just this past weekend about John finally receiving his full VA medical benefits after all of this struggle, that, quote, the December 1980 Rendlesham Forest incident in the United Kingdom is arguably the most well-documented and important UFO encounter in history. A UFO was seen over the base for three consecutive nights by United States Air Force personnel stationed at the twin bases of Bentwaters and Woodbridge near Ipswich, England. Airman First Class John Burroughs encountered the UFO at close proximity on two nights. While for many years the U.S. government denied that this incident had even occurred, in 2006 the U.K. government declassified the intelligence study on UFOs codenamed Project Condine and was classified as secret UK eyes only, in which the following statement is found in its now released form in 2006. Quote, the well-reported Rendlesham Forest Bentwaters event is an example where it might be postulated that several observers were probably exposed to UAP, that is unidentified aerial phenomenon, radiation for longer than normal UAP sighting periods, close quote. The implication here is, George, that when this Project Condine was put together, they already had so much data that they could talk about normal UAP sighting periods, and that the people involved in the RAF Bentwaters Woodbridge incident, John Burroughs twice, were exposed for, quote, longer than normal UAP sighting periods. These are the words directly from this 460-page Project Condine. Now, in this next section of the interview with John Burroughs, you will at one point hear him use the term terahertz, T-E-R-A-H-E-R-T-Z.
Mm-hmm.
I've reported about this in the past 5 years concerning airport scanning machines that use terahertz, which falls between infrared and microwave on the electromagnetic spectrum. And there were a lot of questions about whether terahertz used in airport scanners were safe to bodies or not. And essentially, the government's official policy is that terahertz is non-ionizing radiation and therefore cannot hurt us. So what is ionizing? Let's just get that straight before John begins.
Lay that out.
Ionizing is what you hear about in Fukushima. Alpha, beta, gamma rays, that's radiation that can kill. X-rays and ultraviolet rays have enough energy to strip off these electrons that are tightly bound around atoms, and when they're stripped off, they become ions. And this ionizing radiation can do serious damage to human and other Earth-life tissue. The non-ionizing radiation is supposed to have enough energy that the atoms will move in a molecule and maybe even cause them to vibrate, but it's not enough to strip off the electrons into the ions, which is in the really dangerous radiation. So you've got examples of frequencies like visible light, infrared, terahertz, microwaves, radio, and extremely low frequencies in this non-ionizing category. But we don't know a lot about exactly what those frequencies of terahertz between infrared and microwave might be able to do if used by advanced technologies. So here, let's continue now with John Burroughs.
It is significant the Project Condine that was highly classified and then released within this decade sort of quietly, says that this UAP phenomena that in the United States we would call UFO and the British are calling unidentified aerial phenomena emits some kind of radiation that can affect minds and bodies. That is a discussion in Project Condyne.
Right. The high spectrum radiation is in the terahertz range, and that this particular type of radiation is highly classified within the Department of Defense and even in the MOD. What I mean by classified is terahertz is out there. It's being used in the white world, but it's also being worked on in the black world. This type of radiation is being looked at for weaponization in a lot of different ways, which is classified.
Terahertz lies between microwave and infrared on the electromagnetic spectrum. Has anybody so far talked to you about what it is that the terahertz might be able to do to your heart valve, given the fact that terahertz is supposed to be non-ionizing and therefore not damaging to tissue?
The best I can tell you on this is it was clear once this information was made available, all of a sudden the doctors knew what to look for and they did some more testing. Prior to that, my civilian doctors couldn't understand a guy, my health overall, my heart was healthy other than the fact that it was being damaged because it kept going into AFib and congestive heart failure. They couldn't understand why it was doing that. There was no reason for it. They couldn't get to the bottom of it. That's when they requested my military records in the first place and were denied. Basically, once this information became available, everything expedited, and within a short period of time, you know, within a three-month period, I was completely treated. They figured out what was wrong. They went in and did the surgery, and then my life was saved. I credit that to Senator McCain's office and to a doctor that was behind the scenes that gave information to the doctors in the VA who then knew what to look for and then were able to do life-saving surgery.
The damage to the leaflet in your heart has been linked directly back to your exposure to unidentified aerial phenomena radiation.
Yeah, that was the basis of the whole claim. I mean, originally it was, I need my records for the civilian doctors, was denied. Then along the way, it became clear to the people involved trying to get my records that they were most likely classified. They were the ones that stated that. To this day, my records were not released to me in this settlement. I'm not allowed to see them. I'm not allowed to have access to them. Nor was my FOIA answered. My FOIA was, I want a confirmation from the Department of Defense and the VA. Are my records classified? Do they lie within the classified section? Where are my records being held? That has also been ignored, which is a violation of federal law. They have to acknowledge the FOIA, and they didn't. But the bottom line is that my claim was based on the fact that I was injured in the line of duty, that I became sick right after the incident, which was the reason why I had my heart issues. Here's the Condyne proof that this incident happened. And not only that, but the Condyne proof shows that my heart was damaged by whatever I was exposed to in the forest in 1980.
John, how soon after December 28, 1980, did you have a medical exam when you were at RAF Bentwaters Woodbridge?
The interesting thing was I never had a medical exam per se where they found the issue at Bentwaters. But I didn't feel good right after the incident, and I struggled with different things, vision, throat, and some other problems. But I never, you know, they didn't find a heart issue. It's after I returned to the States 4 or 5 months later that I got sick, just out of the blue, completely got sick, and I went into the civilian hospital. My heart was not acting properly. They found a heart murmur, and there was an abnormal anomaly in the heart. And the interesting thing about that, which I didn't know at the time, but I've learned over the years, is a lot of times when they find this anomaly in the heart and when they do an EKG and stuff like that, that leads to that you have some kind of heart blockage. But I've never had that. Matter of fact, prior to my surgery, they checked for that in case they were going to have to clean out my arteries, and they were clean. I have no heart disease, no heart problems, no nothing. The only heart problem I have was both of my leaflets were shredded, but the one that normally doesn't even have any damage in mitral valve was completely shredded, which was on the inside mitral valve, and that was causing all my heart issues.
It is described in Project Condyne that exposure to UAP radiation, however it is defined, at what frequency, can cause damage to the body and can manipulate the mind.
Yeah, it can. It states in the report. People need to read that report. it is the closest thing to a smoking gun that's out there right now, you know, next to the fact of recovering a craft. And what I mean by that is to have proof of the craft. I mean, there's implications that the crafts have been recovered, and I'm not saying they have it, but no one in the public has got that proof as far as I know. But this is a report, and it was a highly classified intelligence study on UFOs. And what's interesting, too, within some other work that I've done where I've got the MOD to admit they're still holding back 18 files, these are some of the policy files that they're holding back, six of them, matter of fact, and 18 files overall. It was called UFOs. And then later on, all of a sudden, they changed it to UAPs.
That unidentified aerial phenomena acronym means that everybody filing FOIA for UFO can honestly be dismissed or ignored because they are not technically filing for UAP.
Right. I was able to get them to admit that they still held these 18 files and some other stuff that I'm still holding on to. But they've gotten to the point now where, because of my follow-up questions, they will not even answer any more of my questions. They used this reasoning. They said, we are no longer going to discuss what files we're holding, what interdepartment memos, emails, or anything else involving this case until after these 18 files were released. Well, after they reviewed all my documents and everything that was presented to them, it appears that they had had some type of access to my medical records. They agreed that I was injured in the line of duty, that I deserved compensation and to be taken care of for my injury in the line of duty in the forest of Rendlesham in 1980, which all goes back to Condyne, the UAP radiation, and that other MOD report acknowledging that we were exposed to above background radiation. Now, when I first got them to admit to these files, they were supposed to release them last fall, early winter. But then when a British citizen, that's how they magically released all this, where they didn't acknowledge the fact that they admitted that to me. They had a British citizen who had read some of my work that was put out, or some of the work that's been done with my colleagues, too, that's been put out, that he made another request, supposedly, and then they admitted, well, yeah, we're holding on 18 files, and we're going to release them eventually. The tentative release date will be sometime at the end of this year. But there's been follow-up FOIA since then. Mine were not acknowledged, as usual, but somebody else did not get a response back either on when they plan on releasing these files, which I think are important. And one of the things that I think they're going to have a problem with this time is there's going to be more people wanting to know what's redacted and why it's redacted. Before, they kind of just seemed to get away with it. They just kind of said, well, here you go, guys. This is it. We don't have any more, and this is what we know, and it's no big deal. Well, now, if they claim they released everything, that's not true. That's one of those, I'm never going to tell you a total lie, but I'm never going to tell you the whole truth type of scenario. What they're doing is saying, well, here's what we can release you. Here's what's redacted. Here's what's declassified now. But there's still a lot still classified within this that we're not going to release. Why would they do that? Why would they hold it back? Because it still is of defense significance.
Why do you think that it is not publicly announced that we're not alone in the universe and that other intelligences have been interacting with this planet for a long time?
My gut feeling is it's written within Condyne itself. It's the fact that everybody's in a race to weaponize this technology. And what I mean is the major world powers. That particular technology, this would be the next game changer. Not only is it a game changer with whoever would hold the technology and be able to utilize it the best, but then also, is there a real threat from outside? In my case, it's unknown. When I was hurt, you know, whether it was intentional or not, I can't answer that. I mean, it could be just as simple as what happened when the Europeans came over to America and the Indians were exposed to them for the first time, and there was stuff within what they had and carried caused disease and sickness. It could just be as simple as that's what happened to me. But then there could be more implications to it. There are definitely reports of things that have happened where there's been some kind of exchange. So not only would it benefit the countries of the world to understand this technology if there's a threat from above, but it also would benefit whoever had the best ability to use this technology to rule the world itself.
And underscoring what John's points are now about weaponization of this UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena radiation, would be a top DOD UK MOD priority. We're going to go back 28 years to 1952 before Bentwaters, not before 2015, but meaning if we were at 1980 right. in Bentwaters and we go back 28 years.
I would have loved to have been there too, Linda.
Well, this is really interesting, though, when you take the context of everything we've been listening to. And in 1952 was the first Majestic 12 Project's first annual report. This is one of the documents leaked to Bob Wood, who I've interviewed about the work that he's done on documents, and his background was in McDonnell Douglas Aerospace before he retired. And in this first annual report in 52, it says this is a review of the president's special panel to investigate the capture of unidentified planform space vehicles by U.S. armed forces and agencies. And on this list, the chairman is Dr. Vannevar Bush, who was key during the Truman administration in everything related to UFOs. And in the page 4, top secret classified magic, under technology, quote, at present, the ability to reconstruct the technology that may be some eons ahead of us, the boost to our current efforts would be incalculable. And they're talking about atomic energy development, propulsion systems, and all of that. Areas such as aircraft and missile design would benefit only after a working understanding has been achieved, and then weapon sciences will follow. In other words, they don't know what this technology is yet, but miniaturization of atomic bomb components is the goal of the AEC and AFSWP. These were military units and agencies at the time. And studies at MIT indicate that such a technology is within reach before the decade is out, because they're looking at the apparent use of microcircuitry found on the recovered planform indicates that miniaturization, low-power transmission, light conductor-sensitive components are required for interplanetary space travel. This is the discussion of everything about the technology in 1952. They know that that's what they're dealing with. And they conclude with a government policy of control and denial that explains what has happened since 1980 Bentwaters and everything else that has been so frustrating to people who know the truth versus policies of denial by governments. Quote, one of the most difficult aspects of controlling the perception in the public's mind of government attempts of denial and ignorance is actual control of the press. Until a clear intent is established with diplomatic relations firmly in hand, and they mean with extraterrestrials, it is the recommendation of the president's special panel with concurrence from Majestic 12 that a policy of strict denial of the events surfacing from Roswell, New Mexico, and any other incident of such caliber be enforced. An interactive program of controlled releases to the media in such fashion to discredit any civilian investigation be instituted in accordance with the provisions of the 1947 National Security Act. That means that the rule of lie has been applied since 1947.
Great job on that story, Linda. When we come back, another full hour of a story, of course. Noe Torres and Ruben Uriarte had talked about a special kind of picture, slides, of what could be an ET. Linda follows up with that story with Jaime Masson.